When you think of protecting your computer systems, how often do you think of insiders? You know, the person sitting in the office or cubicle next to you, maybe that disgruntled worker you had a talk with or let go. And if there is a threat, what's the best way to stop it? We're going to try to answer those questions now in a Federal News Radio discussion, Meeting Mission Goals Through Technology, brought to you by General Dynamics IT. Today's topic is cybersecurity and fighting the insider threat. Joining us in studio is Jerry Davis, the Chief Information Security Officer at NASA. And also here is Elaine Newton, Identity Management Systems Program Manager for the National Institute of Standards and Technology. And we're also joined by Bobby Stempfli, Director of the National Cybersecurity Division at Homeland Security. And great to have you all on this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we're going to start right away with some issues about insider threats and what those biggest insider threats might be. And what we're going to do is, so it doesn't get confusing for the audience, is address each question to each person, except for this question. I want each of you to answer it in sequence. And Jerry, we'll start with you. The biggest insider threats, how managers can address them within your agency. You're with NASA. What do you face?
When it relates to insider threats, I think a number of years ago when we talked about insider threats, there was a large focus that the variety or the number of insider threats were fairly high. We're finding now that it's kind of evened out where your external, your insider threats are kind of 50-50. I think the things that we look at mostly is not so much as really a malicious insider threat, but really a non-intentional type person. That's a
clicking on a nasty link
exactly,
or something.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, the best way to kind of handle those types of things, if you're looking at it from a trending analysis, is you find out that it comes down to something like that. It comes down to training. So you put a tremendous focus on training in that area and awareness around those things that to alleviate or mitigate that risk from those unintentional insider threats.
And Bobby Stempfli with NIST, you're the Identity Management Systems Program Manager. I'm sorry, I got it backwards. The Director of the National Cybersecurity Division at DHS, Bobby Stempfli. Again, insider threats, what you're facing.
So I think Jerry's point is very accurate. The real issue in this area is making sure you have a multifaceted approach to things. It has to involve things like training of end users. It has to involve things like technology components that will help offset any particular area. It also has to involve procedures and mechanisms and overall user awareness. And so it's not so much a matter of understanding whether it's insider or external. It's about engaging this multifaceted approach. What do I have? Where is it? What's it supposed to do? Is it doing that? Are my users trained across the board?
A lot of balls to keep in the air, though.
Just a few, yeah.
I mean, whenever anybody says multifaceted, you think, that's a lot of work.
It is. It is a lot of work.
And Elaine Newton, you're the Identity Management Systems Program Manager at NIST. So, again, you are also facing these sorts of challenges.
Well, we're not an operational agency, but
right.
We do give best practices and help develop standards with industry. From our perspective, we have two different ways of looking at this. If you were to use biometrics, for example, to prevent being able to pass credentials from the person it was assigned to the person who was not legitimately issued that credential, that's one way to prevent that problem. And another way is beyond identity, to make sure you're not only doing authentication of identity, but authentication of the privileges and managing the privileges to information that's classified or otherwise valuable.
And Jerry Davis from NASA, let's get to some of the real life situations here. In your experience, how much of a threat are insiders relative to external threats that we all know about in terms of numbers of incidents?
Yeah. So again, I really look at it from a perspective of really the unintentional side of it. You still have a high number of individuals that get things like those malicious emails that they click on the links. From a numbers perspective, you know, I think it's about 50% of probably some of the major incidents we get are from folks doing things unintentionally. And, you know, as Bobby said earlier, there really is a multi-dimensional focus on whether it's training or technology or things that to kind of slow down that threat. Again, the numbers side of it's probably, you know, 50%. We spend a lot of time with the users in training. I think it's kind of like Pavlov's dog experiment. I mean, you guys got to tell them over and over and over again before they really catch on to it. But we're finding that over time that it does work. You know, the repetitiveness of the training, eventually it does kind of sink through, but you're never finished. You just kind of keep doing it over and over.
And just as follow-up, what about malicious insiders that mm-hmm. they're not making a mistake? How often does that actually occur?
Yeah, you know, we don't see that too often. Those are very hard to detect because a lot of times malicious insider are particularly people that obviously already have access to systems and things like that and access to information. The key to that is very early on as you're provisioning people to accounts and things like that you properly provision them and that you give them no more access than they actually need. And then you have to have some way to actually monitor that. The problem is in most organizations is that's not really done properly from day one. So you can end up chasing your tail around for a long time trying to determine people to have legitimate access, whether or not they're actually abusing that access. It's difficult.
I want to go to Elaine Newton. She's the Identity Management Systems Program Manager at NIST. And one of the things you had talked about was that authentication. And I think that plays off of what Mr. Davis from NASA had just said, and that is people who have this access. Do you find that's also an issue, that the authentication is more important than just the person itself, but what they're supposed to be able to look at?
Right. Being able to authenticate the role or the privilege that they have on the system is very important so that you can prevent things like giving 100,000 people, for example, or 800,000 people, I've heard in one particular agency, access to highly classified information.
So you got to be a little more discreet about who gets that authentication.
Discreet, yes.
Okay.
And Ms. Temfley, at DHS, you look across both the public and private sector, and the insider threat seems to be something that people are talking about. And so what kind of picture does DHS have of this whole insider threat view?
So I think it's accurate to say that we all, public and private partners, as well as inside the federal government, are interested in how we protect against threats, whether they be from the insider or from external uses. And it's a good thing that in many cases it's very similar capabilities that we use in order to provide that. User training is always going to be a part of what we do. Identity management is a big part of our solution. Privilege management, as Elaine said, as a part of this. And so those are similar approaches taken both by the federal government and by our private partners in state and local governments as well.
In everything that all of you have talked about so far, the insider threats that we're focusing on for this segment, it does seem like the weakest link is our general stupidity. Somebody just clicking on something they didn't mean to click on, or they shouldn't have clicked on, or they were curious about clicking on, and the next thing you know, bad things happen. Is that taken into consideration when you find that person and ferret that person out and take them out to the woodshed? What happens then? I mean, what's the next thing that happens? I know that NIST can't respond to that. I wouldn't expect you to. But what happens then? I mean, is that taken into consideration?
Yeah, from the NASA side, yeah, I would say it is. But, you know, a lot of times that comes back to training and what people, whether or not they really understood the essence of the training. I think one of the problems when folks go through training today is the training is a lot of times it's used just from a compliance aspect. So people try to very rapidly and quickly get through the training just to get it done and over with. But what I always say is one thing you can never factor in into any environment is what I call UHF. Most people think I'm talking about ultra high frequency, but I say no, it's an unpredictable human factor. You never know what the end user is going to do. So you do factor in at the end that there has to be some level of punitive at the end of the day. But, you know, you have to weigh it against, you know, what they really knew. Did they really know what they were doing? And did they take the training? Did they really understand the training? And at the end of the day, again, revamp the training to make sure that people really understand what they're doing.
And I just had a detailed technology question. This takes us way back. I mean, early on, PCs came into organizations because people brought them from their house because they would do things that corporate resources wouldn't let them do. Of course, we're not in that era anymore. But there's still the issue of people, and this is a security breach question, most corporations, and I think most agencies, disallow people from bringing their own software and installing it on the network. And yet there's so many consumer applications out there, and I think this is being driven into hyperdrive by the iPhone, that I wonder if that's increasing as something we're seeing as a possible threat. Bobby?
So I think that the issue and the constant tension between user productivity applications and the demands that users have to use this technology in even more ways than we could have envisioned early, and the need to understand their configuration and security is a natural and real tension that's happening. One of the things that federal government-wide we have in coordination with NIST is the U.S. government standard configuration baseline for computers, so that we can help bridge that tension. That's built not only as a U.S. government capability, it goes through a public review as a part of the processes, so that we can get that visibility and understanding and try to expose those points of tension that are going to be in that space. And then that's tied to Jerry's point of compliance, that's tied to the continuous monitoring requirements and to your annual compliance reporting. So we now have a mechanism to say we're going to build that configuration baseline, we're going to understand it, we're going to get public comment on it, and we're going to tell how well we're doing in complying with
that. So in other words, the continuous monitoring can not only just tell you what's not on, mm-hmm. which is updates, which is what people are monitoring right. for, but also what might be added that right. shouldn't be there.
Right, and that's the vision.
And is there NIST guidance, Elaine, on the idea of people bringing their own applications? Or just doing
that
something to the network?
No. I mean, what we do at NIST is... The networks are monitored for what computers are being brought in, and they can see things like Skype, for example. It's not allowed on our networks.
And what is it called? The P2P program? What's that one called?
Peer-to-peer.
Yeah, but there's a certain one that people, what's it called? That people use, the kids use.
Oh, there's all kinds.
Anyway. Jerry's hip, yeah. He knows.
Yeah. We're speaking with NASA Chief Information Security Officer Jerry Davis, Elaine Newton, Identity Management Systems Program Manager at the National Institute of Standards and Technology, and Bobby Stempfli, Director of the National Cybersecurity Division at Homeland Security. You're listening to a Federal News Radio discussion, Meeting Mission Goals Through Technology, brought to you by General Dynamics IT. I'm Tom Temin.
I'm Amy Morris. We'll be right back.